Residential condominium contract. Paragraph 1. Parties. Enter the legal names of buyer and seller as they will appear on all documents and closing instruments. The blanks for both buyer and seller should be filled in without any reference to marital status. Paragraph 2. Enter the legal description and address of the property to be conveyed. If the property is described by metes and bounds, attach the description to the contract. Paragraph 2.A, 1 property and condominium documents. Enter the unit and building number. If the unit has assigned parking, enter the description. Paragraph 2RA. 2. This paragraph includes the improvements, which are all man-made additions to the land, including the house, garage, and other permanently installed and built-in items. Paragraph 2. A. 3 describes accessories, which, while not necessarily permanently installed or built-in, are commonly conveyed to buyer in the sale. Paragraph 2.A4. Enter exclusions to the sale. If an item is to be excluded, give it a name and a location. For example, dining room chandelier would be an adequate name and location. Excluded items are to be removed prior to delivery of possession. Paragraph 2.B. If buyer has received documents, check B1. If not, check B2. Ideally, buyer should have reviewed the documents prior to entering into a contract. If the documents are not available, check B3 to indicate that seller has requested the documents from the association. Paragraph 2.C. If buyer has received the certificate, check C1. If not, check C2 unless seller does not have the certificate available. Ideally, buyer should have reviewed the certificate prior to entering into a contract. If the certificate is not available, check C3 to indicate that seller has requested the certificate from the association. The Condominium Owners Association must prepare the resale certificate on a TREC promulgated form or on another form required by the parties no more than 3 months before the seller delivers it to the buyer. The seller pays for the preparation of the certificate. Paragraph 3.A. The down payment is always the difference between the sales price and the sum of all financing. Paragraph 3. B. The sum of all financing from all sources. Insert only the amount actually being financed. Paragraph 3.C. The sales price is the sum of 3.A and 3.B. Paragraph 4. Leases. If the seller is aware of any leases affecting the property, the seller will disclose them in the addendum regarding residential leases or the addendum regarding fixture leases. See Chapter 3 for more detailed information on residential and fixtures. Paragraph 5. Earnest money. Earnest money is a deposit paid up front by buyer to show that he or she is serious in his or her intent. There is no standard for the dollar amount of earnest money, but it is often in the range of 1% of the purchase price. Insert the amount of earnest money and the name and address of the title company. If additional earnest money is required, enter the amount and the number of days. An option gives buyer the unrestricted right to terminate the contract within the option period. The termination may be for any reason or no reason at all. Suppose buyer chooses to terminate within the option period and gives the proper notice of termination. In that case, they will receive a refund of their earnest money and have no further obligations under the contract. Paragraph 5.A. The buyer will deliver the earnest money and the option fee to the escrow agent within 3 days after the contract's effective date. The buyer may combine the earnest money and the option fee into a single payment or make 2 separate payments. If the buyer makes 1 payment for both, the payment will be applied to the option fee first and then to the earnest money. The buyer must ensure that the payment is sufficient for both. Paragraph 5. B. While there is no mention of inspections in this paragraph, the option period allows for the inspections that buyer may want. Recall that in paragraph 7d, buyer is purchasing the property as is. Because of this, the buyer is strongly urged to obtain inspections. Based upon the inspection findings, buyer can simply proceed to closing, attempt to negotiate repairs with the seller, or terminate the contract. If buyer chooses to terminate under the option, they will receive a refund of earnest money, but will not receive a refund of the option fee. The option fee is the consideration paid to seller for taking the property off the market for a period while buyer decides whether or not he or she wants to finalize the purchase of the property. Please note that any notices under this paragraph must be provided by 5 p.m. on the specified date. The following must be present for a valid option to exist. The applicable blanks in paragraphs 5A and 5B must be filled in. Buyer must pay the option fee within 3 days after the effective date of the contract. Buyer must deliver the option fee to the escrow agent. The option fee is applied to the sales price at closing. Paragraph 6. Title policy. There are 9 promulgated exceptions to all title policies in Texas. Paragraph 6.A. Either buyer or seller can pay the owner's title policy premium. In most cases, seller pays the title policy premium. The title company named in paragraph 5 generally issues the title policy. Paragraph 6.B. Commitment. The title company has 20 days from the date it receives the contract to deliver a commitment to buyer for title insurance. This paragraph also provides for an automatic extension of the delivery time for up to 15 days or 3 days prior to closing if the commitment cannot be delivered within the 20 days allowed. Paragraph 6.C. Objections. Enter the intended use of the property. If buyer is using the property for a residence only, many license holders insert the words residential use in this paragraph. Enter the number of days that buyer has to object. See the section on objections in Chapter 4 for more information. Paragraph 6D. Title notices. This section includes notices relating to issues that may or may not apply to the real estate in question. Most of these notices are required by statute. Paragraph 6. D1 Abstract or Title Policy. The Texas Real Estate License Act requires that license holders advise buyer to have the abstract examined by an attorney or to obtain a title insurance policy. In this paragraph, the license holder complies with the License Act requirement. Paragraph 6, D2, Statutory Tax Districts. If the property is in a utility district, this must be disclosed, as well as the bonded indebtedness, the tax rate, and standby fees of the utility district. Texas legislation allows a buyer to back out of an offer if the bonded indebtedness is not disclosed prior to closing. Seller must deliver, and buyer must sign the required notice. Paragraph 6, D3, Tidewaters. This notice is required if the property abuts tidally influenced waters. The notice, Addendum for Coastal Area Property, TREC 33-1, addresses the issue of boundary changes due to the natural action of water and rules prohibiting the construction of structures or fill without the necessary regulatory approvals. Paragraph 6, D4. Annexation. The property may currently be outside a municipality's boundaries. A nearby municipality may annex the property in the future. Cities have authority within an area known as their extraterritorial jurisdiction, that is, a jurisdiction outside of their existing boundaries. The extraterritorial jurisdiction is determined by the size of the city. It ranges from a minimum of 1 mile for small cities and up to 5 miles for cities with a population over 100,000. Paragraph 6-5. Property located in a certificated service area of a utility service provider. Utility service providers are businesses licensed by the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality. They are not taxing authorities like utility districts, but do charge for water and sewer services, primarily in rural areas. They have been assigned an exclusive service area, territory, by the state of Texas. If a property is located in a certificated service area of a utility service provider, a disclosure to buyers that there may be a charge for turning on or connecting water and sewer services is required by the Texas Water Code. Paragraph 6.E7, Public Improvement Districts. A Public Improvement District, PID, is a special taxing entity established by area property owners to enhance a neighborhood or commercial district. The creation of a PID requires a vote of at least 51% of the property owners affected by the new tax. Some local jurisdictions have set a threshold for approval above 51%. If the property is in a PID, notice must be provided to the buyer informing them of the tax. The seller may meet the statutory requirements for written notification of PID by attaching the TREC promulgated addendum containing notice of obligation to pay improvement district assessment to the contract. Paragraph 6, D7, transfer fees. Some properties are subject to a private transfer fee. Buyer is informed of the statute that might apply to the fee, if any. Paragraph 6, D8. Propane gas system service area. Some properties fall within a propane gas system service area. If so, buyer will be notified, and an addendum containing the notice will be completed and included with the contract. Paragraph 6, D9. Notice of water level fluctuations. This paragraph serves as notice to the buyer that the level of water impoundments that adjoin the property may fluctuate for several reasons. This notice states that two possible causes of water level fluctuation may be drought or flood conditions, or the lawful exercise of entities with rights to the water stored in the impoundments. Paragraph 6, point E, parentheses 11, certificate of mold remediation. If remediation for mold has been performed on the property, seller must provide the buyer with any and all certificates for remediation activities for a period of five years prior to the sale. Paragraph 6.E.12, required notices. The seller must provide the buyer with a notice if the property is in a utility, water, drainage, and/or public improvement district. Failure to provide these notices to the buyer may provide remedies or rights to terminate the contract. Paragraph 7. Property condition. See Chapter 4 for a full discussion of property condition. Paragraph 7. Access, inspections, and utilities. Seller permits buyer access to the property at reasonable times for inspections. Seller will turn on utilities and leave utilities on during the time covered by this contract. Paragraph 7, B. Seller's disclosure notice. Pursuant to Section 5.008, Texas Property Code, notice. Seller's disclosure notice should be received by buyer prior to making an offer. Paragraph B has three options. Paragraph 7, B1. Buyer has received the notice. This option is the most desirable if seller is obligated to provide a seller's disclosure. Paragraph 7, B2. Buyer has not received the notice and can terminate for any reason up to 7 days after receiving the notice or prior to closing, whichever occurs first. Paragraph 7, B3. If seller is not required to provide the notice, check this box. Paragraph 7.C. Seller's disclosure of lead-based paint and lead-based paint hazards. If the property was built prior to 1978, the required lead-based paint addendum must accompany the contract. Paragraph 7. D. Acceptance of property condition. This is an as-is contract. Both seller and buyer should understand the relationship between paragraph 7D and paragraph 23. Paragraph 7.E. Lender required repairs and treatments. Lender required repairs, if any, are a negotiated expense item between the parties. If the lender repairs exceed 5% of the sales price, buyer may terminate the contract and receive a refund of earnest money. Seller must complete all agreed to repairs prior to closing, or the closing date may be extended up to 5 days to complete repairs. Paragraph 7, F. Completion of repairs and treatments. As a rule, seller completes any agreed upon repairs and treatments prior to the closing date. Paragraph 7.G. Environmental matters. This is a notice to buyer that, if buyer is concerned about environmental matters affecting the property, a TREC promulgated environmental addendum is available. The addendum allows buyer, at buyer's expense, to perform environmental assessments on the property. Paragraph 7, H. Residential service contracts. These are commonly known as home warranties. Buyer can purchase a home warranty under any circumstances. Seller is obligated to reimburse buyer for the amount entered in this paragraph at closing. Seller is not obligated to offer to pay for buyer's home warranty. It is a negotiated item. Paragraph 8. Brokers and sales agents. Paragraph 8.A. Broker or sales agent disclosure. Paragraph 8.A. States that a license holder with a familial relationship with a party to the transaction must disclose this information to the other parties before entering into a contract. Paragraph 8. B. Broker's fees. All fees due to the broker are found in separate agreements, usually the listing agreement between the broker and the seller, and the buyer's representation agreement between the buyer and the broker. Paragraph 9.A. Closing. The closing date is a date agreed to by seller and buyer. It is an on or before date that may be moved up if all parties are ready to proceed to closing. The closing date may be extended up to 7 days, when necessary, after curing objections to the commitment or survey. If either party fails to close by the closing date, the non-defaulting party may exercise the remedies in paragraph 15. Paragraph 9. B1 seller is to convey title with a general warranty deed. Paragraph 9, B2. Buyer is to bring good funds to closing. Good funds is a cashier's check or wire transfer. Title companies may accept a small personal check from a buyer. Check with the title company for their policy. Paragraph 9, B3. Seller and buyer agree to execute notices and documents reasonably required to complete the transaction. Paragraph 9, B4. There will be no liens, assessments, or security interests against the property, which will not be paid out of the sales proceeds unless it is a loan or other obligation assumed by buyer. Paragraph 9, B5. The seller is responsible for paying any private transfer fees. Do not confuse private transfer fees with HOA transfer fees. HOA transfer fees are covered by the addendum for property subject to mandatory membership in a property owner's association. These fees go back into the community. Paragraph 10. Possession. Seller shall deliver the property in its present condition, ordinary wear and tear excepted. As a rule, possession should be given to buyer upon closing and funding. Funding does not necessarily immediately follow closing. If funding is delayed, buyer needs to be informed so he or she can make the appropriate moving arrangements. If seller is to remain in the property for one night or more after closing and funding, a seller's temporary residential lease form should be completed. The lease form can be used for an occupancy of 90 days or less. Likewise, a buyer's temporary residential lease form should be used if buyer occupies the property 90 days or less prior to closing. Sellers must terminate all access to smart devices that convey with the home, including permanently disconnecting from the hardware and accounts that control the home's smart devices once the buyer takes possession of the property. The seller should have no remote access to the property through an app on a smartphone or computer. The buyer should ensure that the seller is logged out of all accounts and create his or her own accounts with unique login information. Paragraph 11. Special provisions. The special provisions paragraph is only for additional informational items. The contract defines an informational item as a statement that completes a blank in a contract form, discloses factual information, or provides instructions. License holders must take special care when adding anything in paragraph 11, as doing so could put them at considerable risk of being engaged in the unlawful practice of law. Much of the litigation surrounding this contract involves poorly constructed provisions in this paragraph. Paragraph 12. Settlement and other expenses. Buyers and sellers' expenses and settlement costs are stated. Even though printed in the form to be paid by one party or the other, they are negotiable. Paragraph 12, point A, 1B, shows the amount of brokerage fees the buyer has agreed to pay, expressed as a dollar amount or percentage of the sales price. Paragraph 12, point A, 1C, shows the maximum amount of expenses the seller is willing to pay on the buyer's behalf. Included here would be expenses seller and buyer have negotiated that the seller will pay on behalf of the buyer. Paragraph 12.A2 includes typical buyer expenses. Included here are appraisal fees, loan application fees, and adjusted origination charges from buyer's loan estimate. Also included would be PMI, MIP, or VA funding fee per the lender's requirement, brokerage fees the buyer has agreed to pay, and any other fee expenses payable by buyer. Paragraph 12. B. If any of these listed expenses exceeds what the party agreed to pay, the contract will terminate, unless the other party agrees to pay the excess. Paragraph 13. Prorations. Prorations are generally calculated through the day of closing for taxes, maintenance fees, and rents, if any. Tax prorations may be calculated to consider any change in exemptions that will affect the current year's taxes. Paragraph 14. Casualty loss. A fire or other casualty loss does not release buyer or seller from the contract. Seller has until closing to bring the property back to its previous condition. Buyer can accept the property in its damaged condition with seller assigning insurance proceeds to buyer. Buyer can terminate the contract and receive an earnest money refund if the property cannot be repaired in the allotted time. Seller bears the risk of casualty loss up to the moment of closing. Paragraph 15. Default. The effects of default by either buyer or seller are specified. Default remedies are discussed in detail on page. Paragraph 16. Mediation. Buyer and seller agree to mediation in the event that the parties have a dispute that cannot be settled through informal discussion. The cost of mediation is divided equally between buyer and seller. Mediation does not in any way imply a waiver of the right to file a suit if a party is unhappy with the results of mediation. Paragraph 17. Attorney's fees. Attorney's fees and all costs of such proceedings are recovered by a party who prevails in any legal proceeding related to this contract, including buyer, seller, listing broker, other broker, or escrow agent. Paragraph 18. Escrow. The escrow agent is not a party to the contract and has no liability for either party's performance. Paragraph 18. B. Expenses. Earnest money is applied first to the cash down payment and then to buyer's expenses. Any excess is refunded to buyer. If closing fails to occur, the escrow agent will require a signed release of all escrow funds from all parties. The title company has the right to deduct from the earnest money the amount of authorized expenses incurred on behalf of the party entitled to the earnest money. Paragraph 18.C. Demand. Either party or the escrow agent may send a release of earnest money to each party. If either party fails to execute a release of earnest money, either party may make a written demand for the earnest money. If the escrow agent does not receive a written objection to the demand within 15 days, the escrow agent is authorized to release the earnest money to the party, making the demand minus allowable deductions for expenses. Paragraph 18d. Damages. If a party wrongfully refuses or wrongfully fails to sign a release, the party entitled to the earnest money is entitled to damages and earnest money, plus attorney fees and court costs. Paragraph 18.E. Notices. Notices are effective when sent to the addresses in paragraph 21. Paragraph 19. Representations. All representations survive closing. If any representation is untrue on the closing date, seller will be in default. Seller may continue to show the property, receive, negotiate, and accept backup offers. Paragraph 20. Federal requirements. A seller who has no Social Security card or green card is considered a foreign person. The escrow agent will withhold from the sales proceeds an amount sufficient to comply with applicable tax law and deliver the same to the IRS. The contract says buyer should do this, but the escrow agent provides this service in reality. Paragraph 21. Notices. Notices are to be in writing. Facsimile notices are effective, as well as hand-delivered or mailed notices, and email notices are acceptable. Agents must ensure that the escrow agent has proper, accurate information for buyer and seller through the date of closing. Paragraph 22. Agreement of the parties. Check the applicable addenda that should be a part of this agreement. All of the addenda listed in this paragraph are TREC promulgated forms. Paragraph 23. Consult an attorney. TREC rules prohibit real estate brokers and sales agents from giving legal advice. Enter attorney contact information if applicable. The execution date follows paragraph 23. When the last party signs and acceptance has been communicated to the other party's agent, the date of final acceptance is filled in. The broker is responsible for ensuring that the effective date is filled in. All contracts must have an execution date filled in. The contract has many provisions that require compliance within X days after the effective date of this contract. Failure to enter an execution date can cause considerable problems when determining whether a party is complying with the contract provisions. Option FE, receipt. The escrow agent signs and dates the option fee receipt, acknowledging receipt of the option fee. Earnest money and contract receipts. The escrow agent will fill out this part of the form when title is opened by the delivery of the contract to the title company. Either agent may deliver the contract to the title company. The title company representative effectively opens title to the property.